Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the purpose for going to school? Well, of course, you should go to school so that you can learn the truth. Maybe you can learn the truth about history. Maybe you can learn the truth about math. Or maybe you can learn the truth about various aspects of science. But the purpose for going to school should be to learn the truth. And of course, if you go to a Christian school, it should be to learn the truth about God, about Jesus Christ, and about your purpose in life. Well, did you know that God also has a school? That's right. God has a school, and it's called life. God is teaching us lessons through life. Now, there was an example, a situation that happened after Jesus had died, when he was on the cross. And this is supposed to teach us the lesson that school is now in session. Let's read about that in Matthew 27 and verse 51. This is Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51. The lesson that we're supposed to learn from this, at least one of the lessons, is that school is now in session. In other words, God is going to begin to reveal more truth to people. It says here, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom." Now, that temple had a veil, which was a big curtain separating the first sanctuary from the Holy of Holies. And when that veil was ripped from top to bottom, that was symbolic of the fact that God was now about to begin a new phase in life, whereas he would send an instructor into the world to teach us more truth. Again, school is now in session. Who is this instructor? Well, let's turn over to John chapter 7, and we'll read verses 33 through 39. This is where we're going to find out who the instructor is that God is sending to teach us more truth in his classroom of life. This is in John chapter 7, verses 33 through 39. Jesus said, "Yet a little while will I still be with you, but soon I must go to him that sent me." And this is, of course, Jesus talking to a number of his disciples and other people. "You shall seek me, and you shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come." The Jews wondered, "Where will he go, so that we won't be able to find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles?" Then Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit." And this is the teacher that God was going to send into this earth to begin to teach us more about his truth. "But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him would receive in the future." So it's only those that believe on Jesus and that believe in God and that accept this Holy Spirit, it's only those that would receive the Holy Spirit and be able to learn this additional truth that God is trying to teach us. But it says, "But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him would receive in the future. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So we have a time frame here of when this teacher, the Holy Spirit, would come and begin to teach us more truth lessons in life. And the time period was after Jesus was glorified. So while Jesus was on the cross, after he died, the veil of the temple was torn in two, symbolically stating to us that now we can begin to have more truth revealed to us, because the veil is not there any longer, blocking us from entrance into the Holy of Holies. And of course, in the Holy of Holies is where God the Father and Jesus the Christ dwell. And so by ripping this veil of the temple from top to bottom, it meant that there's an entrance way into the Holy of Holies. And of course, this entrance into the Holy of Holies allows us to have this intimate relationship with God, so that God can begin to teach us more truth. And so after Jesus died, and when he was resurrected and then ascended into heaven, that's when he was glorified. After that, the Holy Spirit was given. And we know that the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost, which would have been approximately 50 days after Jesus' crucifixion. And in fact, it was exactly 50 days after his resurrection. So, the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach us truth. It's not just going to teach us about math or science or religion or any other subject that you can think of. It's going to teach us the truth about all subjects. So let's turn over to John chapter 16, and verse 7 through 13 is where we're going to focus to see that again the Holy Spirit is a truth instructor. This is in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 13. Nevertheless, I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is even called the Spirit of Truth. And the job of the professor, the Holy Spirit, is to guide us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is a truth instructor. But the fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit, as a truth instructor, really only has a very few pupils, only a very few students who right now are receiving this information. We already read that Jesus said that out of his or her belly shall flow rivers of living water, but he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him would receive in the future. Not everybody believes on Jesus. And if they don't believe on Jesus, then they do not have the Holy Spirit. If they do not have the Holy Spirit, then they are not learning the advanced truths that God is revealing in this classroom of life. So there's only a few people who are, if you will, receiving their PhD at this time, their advanced training in the knowledge of God. And we can prove that by reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12. This is where we're going to see that God actually, at one time, had most people, I mean the overwhelming majority of people in the world, were blinded. They weren't even going to school in terms of learning God's truth. They were living life and learning lessons, but the hard way, and they were learning a lot of errors. And then at a different time, which is called a dispensation in the Bible, at a different time, God said, okay, I'm going to call a few more people to teach them of the truth. So again, let's read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12. And this is Paul speaking. When I came to you declaring the testimony of God, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, for I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, I'm not teaching you with the knowledge of the world, because again, that just leaves you in the dark. It's the blind leading the blind if we live that way. I'm coming to you with the simple truths of Jesus Christ and of him crucified. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but my preaching was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See this contrast here? We can learn a lot, but we'll be learning a lot of falsehoods if we're speaking the wisdom of men, because Satan has deceived this world. This whole world is under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, Satan the devil. That's the instructor for most people. But Paul goes on to say, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Now notice this. God says that it's a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Most people don't know the truth of God. This is a mystery. It's even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But now notice this contrast. But God has revealed them to us. Now how has God revealed them to us? And the us, of course, is those that believe on Jesus, that believe on God, and that receive this Holy Spirit, this truth instructor. But God has revealed them to us. How has he done it? By his truth instructor, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what knows the things of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? What this is saying is, a monkey can't understand a man, a cat can't understand a man, a dog can't understand a man, only a man can understand a man. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? God has given mankind a certain spirit that allows us to understand one another. And it goes on to say, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man except through the Spirit of God. Did you catch that? Do you understand what God is telling us? What this passage is telling us is that we cannot, of and by ourselves, know the things of God. God has to give us his Spirit in order for us to know the things of God. God is God. If we're going to understand God, we have to have God in us. We have God in us through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So we haven't received the Spirit of the world. We have received the Spirit which is of God. Why? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So what are some of these things that are freely given to us by God that we should know? What is the Holy Spirit teaching us? Well, one is the mystery of the unity in Christ. And that's in Ephesians, the first chapter, in verses 3 through 14. Here it says that God has chosen us according to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Why? So that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ after we heard the word of truth. And so he has made known to us the mystery of his will, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together all things in Christ, both in heaven and on earth. So this is a mystery of unity in Christ, that all of the world is being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And then another truth is found later in Ephesians, the third chapter, and this would be verses 2 through 9. This is a mystery of the Gentiles, because the Jews, or the Israelites, thought that God was only working with them since they were considered God's chosen people. But in Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 2 through 9, it says, "You have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, but it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ." And so this is another mystery, is the mystery that all people, again, are supposed to be one in God. And so the Holy Spirit is the truth instructor, and it leads us to many, many truths, of which we'll talk more about in the next program. Thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.